A wolf is an animal of the genus Canis, a beast of prey that kills sheep and other small domestic animals, called sometimes the wild dog. The wolf is crafty, greedy, and ravenous. You'll see the Bible describes wolves as ravening or ravenous. And when you look at the definition of ravening, voraciously devouring, preying with rapacity, which was a new word for me, and I had to look that one up, addictedness to plunder, the exercise of plunder, the act or practice of seizing by force, ravenousness as the rapacity of animals, ravenous, furiously voracious. And this is what just paints the picture for me. I've seen wolves, so I can picture this I can actually see in my mind's eye hungry even to rage. There are very few documentaries that have pictured a wolf kill. It's just not something you see. There is one, and I can't remember exactly what film team got it, but they got it from a helicopter. I saw it when I was up in Canada. I think it was actually a Canadian documentary. It took them years to get this thing to where they finally were able to watch from beginning to end a wolf pack dealing with, it was either caribou or elk, and I'm pretty sure it was caribou. The woodland caribou, which are up on the edge of the tundra where the boreal forest and the tundra meet. It was either caribou or elk. I'm not 100% sure. I do know it was in Canada, though. I think it was caribou. But they caught it from a helicopter from beginning to end, and the helicopter didn't disturb any of it, and it showed the actual start of the of what the wolves did, and it showed the inevitable ending of that. And the inevitable ending is the animal is eaten pretty much before it's even dead. That is ravenous to a rage, okay? I don't suggest you let your kids watch some of those nature shows. You'll see it. Hyenas and lions do it in Africa, and you'll see that occur. And the Bible actually uses that animal and its characteristics to describe a group of people. Fortunately, it's not a large group of people, and fortunately, we don't have packs of wolves howling out there tonight. There may have been at one point in time in this country, but I'm thankful that we can walk to our cars tonight and don't have to worry about getting ripped apart by a wolf. There are places in Canada where you do have to worry about that. And I actually have friends in Canada, one who was stalked by a wolf pack when he was hunting one time. He said he's been out hunting all his life. He's lived in wolf country all his life. He's never been afraid of wolves. But he said one night, a group of wolves, about 5 to 6 of them, followed him back to his hunting vehicle, which was an ATV, from his stand. He had parked his ATV, then walked a good ways in, and he said the wolves, he knew they were out there beyond his stand. He got down out of his stand and started walking back to his ATV. He said normally wolves, when they know it's a human, they'll head off in the other direction. But he said, not this group. He said, that night they followed me. And he said, halfway back to my ATV, they fanned out. Mm-hmm. Like that. And he said, I could see one here and one here and could hear the ones behind me. And he said, I'm thinking, this ain't good. And fortunately for him, he made it back to his ATV. They stayed a certain distance out, but he felt like they were actually hunting him. And that's the wolves there. But what we talked about last week was, because we want to look at context, the Bible's talking about wolves. I want to talk about wolves from Palestine. Wolves from Palestine are more singular. They aren't the characteristics of the wolves in that area. They will occasionally pack up, but normally they run singly. In Canada, they're a little bit different. They'll occasionally run singly, but most of the time they're packed up. And they act differently in different places in the world. But we got to make the transition to people. Okay? And I think I've laid out the wolf itself. And now I think what we need to do is we need to look at where it applies to people. And let's go back to the first mention in the New Testament. I shouldn't use that. Because Matthew chapter 7, let me ask you something. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. Even though this is in everybody's Bible, isn't it? That ain't where it starts.
No. Mm-mm. It starts at Calvary.
That's right. It starts when the veil is rent. Mm-hmm. Okay? I like that page. It's good. It divides, you know, a portion of the Bible there. But that's not the actual starting point. All right? So, we are in I believe John the Baptist was the transitional prophet of the Old Testament to transition us to the New. I don't believe John the Baptist started the church by any stretch of the imagination. And here in Matthew chapter 7, the Jewish gospel is the first mention that we find of wolves in the New Testament. And let's look at the context. That's important, the context of this. And the context of the mention of wolves is, let's go back to verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Strange context for a text on wolves, isn't it? Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And that is hours of message in and of itself, right there wrapped up in those two verses. But between 14 and 15, he changes gears dramatically. And it's interesting that he lays out the positive and the negative of salvation. And the numbers there, notice, many and few. Many and few. And then goes right into this. Beware. Mm-hmm. Beware of false prophets. Good reason to say that. Because many people in our country have been misled by false prophets. Many. Particularly the ones that would preach a gospel that says, just do the best you can. God loves everybody. You'll be all right. That is the cry of the new evangelical church. Mm-hmm. That it is the root of every single message that they preach. Why? Because I've listened to hundreds of them over the years. And I don't recommend you do that, but I've done it. I've done it because I got to answer those messages in the prison up there for 10 years when those guys would hear them, and I had to answer it in there because the questions would come. But Joel Osteen said, and Benny Hinn said, and this one said, and that one said, and I would have to answer it, and my answer would always have to be right here. Mm-hmm. Right here. And it's like, I don't care what they say, guys. What does this say? Amen. What does this say? Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. All last week we talked about ravening wolves, and I started out tonight talking about ravening wolves, and if you don't know what a ravening wolf is by now, we got problems. But I believe you do. And here he calls false prophets that come in sheep's clothing. Now, I personally believe that wolves, that the wolves that will come into our church have two ways of coming in. There is a direct approach and there's an indirect approach. The direct approach is right through the doors. The indirect approach is approaching you where? Outside. That's exactly right. And an even more indirect approach is when they come in dressed like us. Mm-hmm. Dressed like us. Mm-hmm. And if you put on the skin of a sheep on the outside, it's going to be difficult to what? Smell that dog that's underneath. Yeah. But it's there. It's there. Trust me. It's there. And there's no reason to fear them because God has given us the discernment to search them out. Mm-hmm. And he's also told us what to do with them. And here in Matthew, I see a wolf that is disguised. Mm-hmm. And I looked up the word disguise in my Noah Webster, 1828, and it says this: to conceal by an unusual habit or mask. Men sometimes disguise themselves from the purpose of committing crimes without danger of detection. They disguise their faces in a masquerade. Number two, to hide by a counterfeit appearance, to cloak by a false show, by false language, or an artificial manner, as to disguise anger, sentiments, or intentions. To disfigure, to alter the form, and exhibit an unusual appearance. To disfigure or deform. Disguise, noun, a counterfeit habit. Counterfeit means what? It's not the real thing. Okay? It's not the real thing. A counterfeit habit. A dress intended to conceal the person who wears it. A false appearance. A counterfeit show. An artificial or assumed appearance intended to deceive the beholder. I'm going to tell you right now. They know our language. They know our terms. But they don't mean the same. They talk about the Holy Spirit. They talk about the power of God. They talk about biblical salvation. But it's not the same. It's not the same. It is another gospel. It is another gospel. And these wolves will bring it in with what is a ravening wolf's desire? To destroy. To destroy. To feed and destroy. That is its desire. It has no other desire. What else do wolves do? That's all. But kill and eat. And make more wolves. What else do they do? They don't do anything else. They don't. You could say, well, you could use their hides for this or that, but not really. It's used for decoration purposes, particularly with First Nations people. But they control populations. I believe God put them on this earth for a reason. I truly do. But they cull off the weak. But when you think about what I just said, let's plug that into the church, because they're coming here. And what did I just say? They call off the weak. They call off the weak. And the definition of them is they kill sheep. They kill sheep. Goats will walk through that door and hopefully hear the truth of the gospel and be saved and become a sheep. But a wolf will not and cannot. It will always be a wolf. It will always be a wolf. I believe a wolf is a tool of Satan to do one thing: destroy this assembly. Destroy this assembly. And he'll use them. Let's look at another passage of Scripture that is used here in the New Testament, and now we're going to go right to the heart of the matter, and that's found in Acts. In this chapter of Acts, and this is the history book of the early church, Paul is leaving Ephesus, and he is traveling to Jerusalem, and he has spent 3 years in Ephesus, which is the longest he's ever spent in one place. That's when he established the church. And here he stops at Ephesus, and he tells the believers where he's going, and they know what's going to happen. Everybody knows Paul goes back to Jerusalem, what's going to happen. He's either going to be killed or taken into custody. There's no two ways about it. And it's not a good time anyway, but these are his last words to a flock. That he has, we know who the great shepherd is. I don't need to get into the verse about the great shepherd. We know who the great shepherd is. The great shepherd is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But God has established, because Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father right now, so he's left some shepherds and some sheepdogs here on this earth to look over his flock and to protect his flock. And pastors do that. They take on that role in an earthly sense when it comes to the assembly. And I believe that's borne out in Scripture. And here he says to these dear people, he says, take heed. First two words, take heed to them. And I just want to look at real quick. Heed means to mind, to regard with care, to take notice of. Heed, noun, caution, care, watch for danger. Watch for danger. Right in the definition of the word heed. And he says here, take heed to these folks. Therefore, unto yourselves. He's talking about the shepherds. He's talking to the elders of the church here. He's talking about the guys that are shepherding over the flock. Because he mentions the flock next. He's talking to the shepherds and the sheepdogs right now. And he says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. In other words, you better be careful as well.
Amen.
You better be careful as well. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. There is a lot of responsibility doing what our dear pastor has done for 44 years today. 44 years. This verse directly applies to what he has done. He has made him an overseer to feed the church of God and to take heed. And then in verse 29, notice what he says. For I know this. There's no guessing what's going to happen. It is an absolute, positive, granite, bedrock statement that he makes. He says, I know this. I know this. That after my departing, after he leaves, shall, and he mentions another kind of wolf here, grievous wolves enter in among you, and what does he say? Not sparing the flock. Not only are we at this point around 60 AD or so, during the reign of Nero, during the persecution of Herod, which we've been talking about in Training Hour all this time, we are smack in the middle of Nero's emperorship at this point. He says, not only do they have to worry about everything that's coming in from the outside, from the government, and the persecution that's going on, he says, on top of all that, I'm going to throw this one at you. Grievous wolves are coming, and they are not going to spare the flock. And if you ever watch those videos, you'll see that they don't spare. There's nothing sparing about the way they take out whatever animal or quarry is that they're going after. The word grievous means afflictive, painful, causing grief or sorrow, distressing, great, atrocious, expressing great uneasiness, provoking, hurtful, destructive, causing mischief. And Webster uses this verse as grievous wolves in his definition of what Paul is talking about to the Ephesian believers here. And he's talking about wolves. And when you talk about wolves, I ain't talking about them furry critters up in Saskatchewan. I'm talking about people right here. Right here where we live. They're going to come in several different ways. And they're either going to come in straight in at you. And this may be out at work. They'll identify themselves from someone who is from another denomination. Or he's very upfront with you about their belief in false doctrine. We had a family, and I'll use this as an example, come into our church when I helped Pastor Webster up in Canada. And they had come maybe a Sunday or two before I noticed them, because my ministry there was mainly external. I tried to be at church as much as I could, but I did the prison, I did the addiction facility. And on a Sunday, I usually got there after the addiction facility. I would leave preaching in the addiction facility, and I'd get there before church ended. Usually, I'd get there at 12 o'clock, maybe 10 after 12. Pastor Webster would go a little longer, maybe 10 after, quarter after, and I'd catch right at the end of the service, usually the invitation, and greet everybody before we left. And I noticed this family, and I noticed the guy. He was a big guy, bodybuilder, nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying. Splattered with tattoos, and I you know when the Bible says someone's spirit just doesn't bear witness with your spirit? Have you ever felt that? How many have actually, in a conversational relationship, the Holy Spirit just backed? It was almost like the Holy Spirit backed up inside. Mm-hmm. Just backed away. Don't be afraid to raise your hand. It's happened all. One point in time or another, you may not have recognized it, but it's happened to you. And that happened as soon as I started talking to the guy. And they were looking for a church home. Woo! We had just remodeled a 650 seat building. And there was 50 of us in there. That building engulfed us. So any opportunity at a family, man, oh man, you know? What? You're welcome. We want... I tell you what, though. Right then, when I first shook the guy's hand and talked to him, and he started talking to me, I sensed that... You know how you put two magnets together and they go... Yeah. You know? So we kept talking, and I said, hey, man, let me ask you something. I said, tell me about how you got saved. Let me ask you something. Tracy, if I asked you how you got saved, you got any problem telling me about it? Would you know the Lord? Mike, why? Would you have a problem talking to me about that? Would that be an issue? Andrew, would that be an issue? It shouldn't be an issue for any Christian talking about their salvation experience. Because, man, that's when we became a new creature. We should want to talk about it.
Amen.
You show me an individual who gets elusive, evasive, when you start honing in on when they got saved, how they got saved. Just your testimony. You don't have to get crazy with it. Just tell me your testimony. If they start deflecting and dodging it, there's something wrong.
Yes.
I'll be happy to tell you what Jesus Christ did for me. I'll be happy to tell you all about it. I got on my knees. I wept. I cried out to God and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I got up a new creature. And I would tell the world that if they would let me. But you show me somebody that don't want to talk about it, and the radar goes crazy. And at one point in time, he got offended. And he's a big guy. And I'm like, I really don't want to fight this guy at the end of church today. But all I'm asking him about is his relationship with the Lord. Because this is a family that's looking for a church. Shouldn't we want to know that?
Yes.
I want to know where they are. Because if they're lost, man, we know where they are. And we know what we need to do with the church family. But if they say they're saved, but they're dodgy about their testimony, immediately the radar goes up. Mm-hmm. It goes up. Mm-hmm. And it's happened to me multiple times. No one should be offended about their testimony. Should they? Should we be ashamed of Christ? Because what did he say if we're ashamed of him? He's ashamed of us. And I backed off a little bit. And I said, okay, man, all right. And I asked him a few more questions. And it got that you could cut the air with a knife. And there wasn't any... Trust me, I had no malice in my heart. I just wanted to hear how the guy got saved. And it was one of those charismatic pray-through testimonies where the hands are laid on and the individual gets up with an experience. That is not biblical salvation, no. And that is what that family believed was salvation. And that is heresy. And that family came for a few Sundays and thankfully left. But I'm telling you right now, they would have taken the role, and I believe they were wolves. I believe they were wolves. And I believe they would have divided our church just like a wolf cuts off the weak and destroyed it with time. How do you know? The Holy Spirit knows. But the Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom. The Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom. And this is not popular today.
No.
This is not popular today. But it's truth. Because it happened here, and it's happened before. Another example. How a wolf works. They'll run the quarry. They'll run with us. For a while. And everything will be just great. They may have the language down perfect. And they'll run with us for a while. But what they're doing is, while they're running with us, what are they looking for? Mm-hmm. Nailed it, Tracy. You know what he said? Weakness. They'll run with us, and that's what they'll do. They won't sprint after those caribou or those elk at first. They'll just run them for a little while. And you'll see them. They're just kind of looping along. Because you know what they're looking for? There it is. There's the weak one right there. And then you'll see one wolf break off from that pack and cut into that herd. And it's like, how is he figuring out which one it is in 150 caribou? But he puts his eyes on them and he goes right for them and separates that animal from the herd. And that's what they'll do. I was lost at the time. My dear wife was married to a lost police officer. Not a good thing. But I still went to church. And I remember a family came to our church out of the clear blue sky. And I remember talking to him one night after church and just a couple things he said to me. And I was lost at the time. But a couple things he said to me, I thought to myself, there's something wrong with this guy. Can't put my finger on it, but there is. One night while I was working, he calls my wife. He calls my house and talks to my wife. And says, can my family come over for dinner? And my wife says, my husband's working. And he knew I was working. And he showed up at my house. Let me ask you something. What is that?
That's a wolf.
That's a wolf!
Predator.
A predator! Who got the man away from the house to question my pastor to her. That's a wolf. It took a while for the men of the church to see it. And as a lost man, I was in no position to deal with it. Because I knew where I was. I just told her, I don't want them people anywhere near here. You understand? And, you know, and she didn't want them to come. I mean, you couldn't tell this guy no. That's how they work. That's how they work. And you're like, well, we don't have that problem here. They will come. Have they come in the past? Mm-hmm. They will come in the future. They will come.
That's right.
For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, but it don't stop there. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that in the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. This is just a few years from the crucifixion. How dangerous is it now? Where are we now? They find the weak. They separate them. And they'll start to question your pastor. Do you believe what he said Sunday? Do you believe what he said? What do you think about what the pastor said on Sunday? Folks, don't ever ask me that question. Please. Don't ever ask me that question. What do you think? Doesn't matter what I think. What'd the Bible say? Because he preached it. He preached it. Coyotes will do the same thing. They feign friendship. They'll come into a yard in Saskatchewan and they'll draw the family dogs out of the yard and then the pack will kill them. Let's use that for some other church drawing you away from where God's put you. You got to be careful with that.
Amen.
It could be a pack of coyotes drawing you out. Folks, there is no greener grass. I've lived long enough now to know there's no greener. Teenager, there's no greener grass. The greenest grass you're ever going to find is with a relationship with God through Jesus Christ in a church, in an assembly, in a family that centers their hearts and lives around the truth.
Amen.
And nowhere else.
Amen.
Nowhere else. Amen. If it's not there, it's not greener grass. The only green grass that I know of grows on top of a septic system. Think about it. That's greener grass. Because you can see it where the lines run right down here in the field, can't you, Tracy? I can tell you where the lines go for the drain field because the greener grass is growing right out there over top of the drain field. That's the greener grass. And the thing is, if you get outside of the yard, the coyotes will destroy you. They won't take your salvation away, but they may ruin your testimony and ruin your family.
Get your children.
And what do most wolves, and this, you stole my point, Pastor. I'm going to let him finish. Get up there and finish it.
I'll give it back to you.
That's right. Because the young are considered, that's, you watch all those nature shows. Usually the weak. Sometimes it's a sick adult, but most of the time it's a young one that just can't quite run as fast as the adults. It's a young. Wyatt got saved recently. There's a wolf out there looking for you. There is. For these young ones. There's wolves out there that are looking for me. And you know what? They'll come. They'll come right through those doors. Feigning friendship. We are believers too. We must always be on guard when it comes to this danger. Look at John chapter 10. I will go to this passage because it came from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wolves will also feign brokenness, folks. They'll feign weakness. But remember what they are under that sheepskin. They're a ravenous wolf who wants to destroy your little ones, your family, and this church. Here in John chapter 10, our Lord and Savior talks about the Good Shepherd, and we know this is the passage on the Good Shepherd. Verse 1 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door to the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the sheep, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep." On the 44th anniversary of this church, I personally, and I think you all should too, before this man leaves here tonight, thank him for not being a hireling. Thank him for 44 years, and his dear wife, and their family, of sticking by the stuff, by not running when a wolf comes. Because there are a lot of preachers today that'll do it. They smell a wolf, and they're out the door. I've met a few of them. And they'll answer to God, it's not my place to judge them. Their ministries stand or fall at the judgment seat of Christ, and that's not my place. But I know one thing, he hasn't fled. He's still here 44 years later, and don't think he hasn't battled some wolves, because he has. I made a vow to you when I first came here and opened up this book behind this desk that your pastor has preached from for 44 years, and I made a vow to you that I would never knowingly preach heresy to you, and I continue that vow, but I'll make another vow to you right now, and that is this: I ain't going to flee from a wolf. I didn't flee from wolves as a police officer and a military guy, and I ain't going to flee from a wolf now as someone who's helping a shepherd. Amen. I'm not doing it. And dads, it is your responsibility to protect your families outside these walls.
Amen.
That makes sense?
Yes.
It is your responsibility. And I'm telling you right now, the wolves can come in to your kids right here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right here. Be careful. Be careful. It's a great tool. I used mine today to research some stuff on Nero. But there's wolves there too.
Yes, they are.
And we must be careful. There's a lot more. It's been a good day. I'm not going to keep you any longer. I just want you to know that we must always be vigilant. And I believe that this is something we're talking about right now. And we're not going to leave this line that we're on. What brings us unity? Forgiveness. Love. Forbearance. Preferring one another. What tears it apart? The tongue. And the second thing we talked, and we're going back to the tongue, because I didn't exhaust that. We're going back to the tongue. But I had to get this in here, because it hasn't been too long now. I believe I dealt with a wolf. Right here in Thurmont. Okay? And the Holy Spirit worked, and the Lord did His work. And I just believe that we should be cautious in that area. We're going to get back to the tongue, but the Holy Spirit just impressed on me to bring this on the wolves, because just like Ephesus, they've come and they will come in the future. Let's pray.